Hey everybody, Biz Help Radio, Jeff Ferrazzo, glad to have you with us again. With me today is
Scott Plum,
Marty Stansfield,
and Nick Rosner.
Today we're going to talk about networking. We've got some ideas on things you should do pre-networking, at a networking event, and then some post-network strategies. So, Nick, why don't you start us off with some pre-networking ideas?
I would love to. See, I'm definitely a web guy, so I love to spend some time before any networking event trying to figure out where the community lives on the web. So if you're going to a smaller networking event, go check out the group. If they have a group on LinkedIn, if they have a Facebook page, see who the people are that are going to be at your event beforehand. You would not imagine how many times I've been in an event and they say, oh, I'm already following you on Twitter. I looked at your face and I recognize you from the web. And that's just amazingly powerful in terms of picking you out of a big crowd. What do you guys think?
Sometimes that's possible to prep, and sometimes it's not because you don't know who's going to be there. I mean, meetup.com has a lot of good networking events, too. And I've been involved, and I am involved in some great chambers. And when I get involved with a chamber and I go to a networking event, if there's a prospect, a targeted prospect that I want to meet or talk to, whether they go to the networking event or not, I call them up and I say, you know, I don't know if you're going to go to this networking event, but I thought I might call and introduce myself on the phone to prevent any awkward moment at the event so that we can act like we know each other when we get there. Does that sound okay? And we get our questions out of the way and our introductions, and it's just it's a little bit kind of that pattern interrupt from a salesperson calling a prospect, and you kind of make it a memorable event. And I've sold thousands of dollars of product doing that and being very, very creative of just calling somebody even before an event.
It takes the pressure off, too, when you do that.
It does, and it gives you an excuse to call them. Whether they go or not,
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, because you've now made the connection.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marty, how about yourself?
As far as pre?
Yeah.
I do like to know what the event is, and I sometimes we'll have an idea of, I used to be all about getting mentally focused and ready to go. Still do that, but I'm going to go and I'm going to find four leads. So, but it hasn't turned in so much to that. And we'll get into that as we talk about the during aspect. But if I know somebody's going to be there from a previous event, or I've talked about it, I've invited them, or it's just, I will prepare myself, like Nick said, if you can find them and know a little bit about their business, and that's an industry that I might be working with, I may seek them out and begin engaging them in questions. So it is good, I think, to know sometimes if who's there, if you can do a little pre-game time.
And sometimes if the event is big enough, they'll have a back channel on the social media, like a hashtag for Twitter, for example. If Caesar, especially for conferences, for bigger conferences, if you're going somewhere, there's going to be a buzz about it online beforehand, and you can get to know the people who are going to be really influential on the internet before the conference even starts.
Yeah, definitely. So then how about some at networking tips?
I'm going to go back to pre,
because okay.
I just thought of something. Going with clarity as in what you're looking to do. Are you going to build business advocates? Are you going to try to find some leads? Are you going to introduce yourself to some people that you might be thinking of working with? So it is important to go with a bit of a plan in mind instead of just showing up to be social, because it may look then like you're just showing up to be social. So,
sure, I agree with you, and I think that having a strategy or an idea as to what you're trying to accomplish, is the proper way to go to make it beneficial. And I think that unfortunately a lot of people get caught up in, Marty, term you use was a card exchange, that they're just running through the room, you know, with a fistful of cards, and they're just, you know, here's my card, can I have your card? Here's my card, can I have your card? And I really think that networking events predominantly are to create exposure. So you're talking to a lot of people, having short conversations with them, trying to then determine some of the people that could be potential, you know, suspects or prospects for you that you could talk to a little bit more in depth.
Right.
Marty, you mentioned about getting a certain amount of leads. I think it's tough to know if they're a lead or not.
True.
Because they may or may not be qualified, but I think if you maybe have a goal of having 10 introductions or 10 meetings of people, then at the end of that evening, you can decide what is really a lead and what is just maybe somebody that might be a good referral source for you.
Sure.
Too. So if sometimes if people get focused too much on leads, they, you know, they collect four cards and they think they have four leads, but in reality, they just have four new friends.
Maybe.
Or
maybe.
Yeah. Maybe friends.
And even then, if the if it was a relevant, interesting conversation, they might end up not being a lead, but now they know more about you. Mm-hmm. And when they run into somebody else that then says, hey, I'm looking for promotional products or sales training, then mm-hmm. they know, you know, they're going to remember you and say, hey, you know what? I talked to somebody that did that.
Right.
And, you know, and I'll get you two connected.
Right, right. That's true, too. Staying in touch with them, and we'll talk about that after the post-networking event later. But that's something that's coming
so
up.
So you brought up during.
Mm-hmm.
I think once you've arrived, I think how you arrive is important. By that, I mean first impressions. Dress for the event.
Mm.
Are you successful? Because people are going to make that judgment when you walk into the room as far as how you're dressed. You may be very successful in what you do. If you don't look successful, you've probably alienated half of the people that might be a business advocate for you there, because they see that as, if that's how he or she is representing themselves here, how are they going to represent me if they're out trying to tell their group about what I do? Is that the type of representative I want? So how do you represent yourself? And then I think I read somewhere that professionals, top business professionals, spend 70-80% of their time listening. So ask a lot of questions. Asking more questions, you'll be the most interesting person in the room. The less you talk about yourself, the more interest others will have in you.
Mm,
I agree with you 100% on that.
And then I would say keep your business cards in your pocket, in your purse, in your business card holder. We talked about those people or the events where it's just a business card exchange. I've been to those where people will approach me and say, or approach a group of us, where we're having a professional conversation. There's four of us. No business cards have been exchanged yet, because is there a reason to exchange mm-hmm. business cards? Are we friends here talking lightly about sports, or is there a synergy? And we've been interrupted by individuals come through saying, here's a card, do you have a card? Here's a card, do you have a card?
Mm-hmm.
I most likely will not be contacting those people.
Mm.
I've had no interaction with them, and they may be somebody I want to interact with in the future, but it may not be. So at one of these events I was at, I was talking with one of the presenters and two others, and I asked them, so what did mm-hmm. you think, and what do you do? And it came around to me, and they said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm not done asking questions yet. Literally said that, continued to ask questions. It then came to me, and they asked a few questions. And two said, you know what, I need to get your card. You'd be a help to me. So I was able to alleviate myself of two sure. business cards and most likely have some good business advocates as well as, you know, a possible sale.
Mm. I'll start a conversation and give a card. I'll ask them, would you like a card? And then they can say yes or no. Most likely
sure.
they'll say yes. But I think I know what you're referring to, Marty, is people are leading with a card instead of leading to the exchange of a card.
Yes.
And salespeople are notorious sometimes of doing that with, hey, I could save you money. So they lead with a price instead of leading to something. And I will have a conversation and then naturally say, would you like a card? And then I ask for one. It's just part of a natural exchange between two people. But the goal is just not to collect business cards. It's to, you know, have some introductions and to have conversations. Some people might be just a little nervous about asking for a card, too. They
mm-hmm.
might seem like it's just too forward.
It could be.
Yeah.
But that's reading the person.
Yeah.
Reading
yeah.
the individual
yeah.
that you're with.
Yeah, it is true.
I was just at I was invited to a party. I went. I thought about bringing cards. I forgot. You know what? If somebody asks, that's fine. They may have one. But I'm not going to this to give cards out. Not having any cards took the pressure out of even I was able to ask people about their businesses. We laughed with some people. I found out from the host, a bunch of people thought, well, they just really enjoyed talking to you. Could there be some business later?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But he has professional relationships with all those people anyway. So it was the impression that was made without necessarily groveling for business and groveling for business cards.
Mm-hmm.
What about any other things that you guys have seen during that have... during that networking event that just kind of you're a pet peeve or something that bothers you?
One of my biggest things is just how the conception that people have about if I talk about myself more, if I talk to more people, that I'm going to be the one that they remember. And the ones that I remember are the ones who dragged me and introduced me to somebody else, or the ones who I connected to two people. Because not only do they thank you and they thank you for meeting a new person, but they remember that you were the one that connected those two people.
Well, right.
You know, granted, for better or for worse, if that turns out bad down the road. But that's what's going to make you stand out.
Well, and that's kind of an others first philosophy.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great technique, too, being a network wingman or wing person. You know, I've done that before where I've gone into events, or I've been in cities where I've had to go to networking events where I don't know anybody. So I don't know anybody in the city. I don't know anybody in the group. So I'll just take two complete strangers and I'll introduce myself to somebody and get their name. And then I'll turn to somebody else and say, hey, do you know Sally? And then just start getting two people to talk to each other. And then I can listen in on the conversation and then jump in and everything. And I'll do that a few times. And now there's four people walking around the room that are then we're run into somebody and say, hey, do you know Jeff? Mm. And they'll quickly introduce me to somebody. And I've done it enough times that I've had other people say, so how long have you known Sally? And it's like, about 3 seconds before I introduced her to you. You know, it's like, oh, I thought you guys knew each other for a long time. But it just got the ice broken.
Sure.
And it can help out other people as well if they're shy or they're you know, just maybe starting out and not sure how to work a networking event, it can be a great way to help people out and do that.
Well, people want to be liked, and they want others to be interested in them. And I think that as you begin to ask those questions, like I said, you are the interesting person because you're asking the questions and you're not doing much talking. Mm-hmm. But you've developed a friend and you've shown an interest in them, and it's easier for them to introduce you to somebody else. And there's that reciprocity again where, wow, he was really nice to me and should introduce him to this person over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how that works.
Yeah, definitely. So let's move on to post-network. Scott, what are some of your tips or suggestions?
I've been pretty committed to a regimen of when I get back to my office with the business cards that I've collected, I go to LinkedIn and look up each of the individuals that I've met on LinkedIn, and then I connect with them. And in the introduction email, I say, you know, it was great meeting you, and look forward to, you know, chatting again. Some other follow-up note, and then, you know, I'd like to add you to my LinkedIn network. So I end up sending them an invite, a thank you note. We get linked in. I can find out more about what's going on in their world with their status updates, etc. Start to build that relationship and start to find out, you know, what's important to them, how I might be able to help them, introduce them to people that could help them, etc. And then periodically through LinkedIn, I'm able to export all of my contacts and have an email database that I can use to stay in touch with them pretty easily.
And definitely, LinkedIn is great for this because you're getting extra touch points, you're getting all this great interaction after the fact, and it's so easy to stay in touch with them. I love that tool.
I think that's an awesome idea that you're building in basically a thank you card into your network introduction request.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm stealing that one.
Good. Good. That's
I'm
all
using
yours.
That one from now on. So Nick, how about yourself? What's some post networking event techniques or strategies that you have?
Oh, my favorite one is to just find them everywhere, especially in interactions where they don't have to come back and do the reciprocity. But for Twitter and Facebook and their email list, if you are following all of their different online profiles, then it's really easy to remember constantly a couple little things about them. So the next time you come by them, you can remember, oh, I did see that promotion that you put out. Or I do know that this is what is you're putting out now. Or even better, passing a referral off. It's the easiest way to keep in the know of what someone's trying to refer out.
Definitely. Marty?
Well, I just think that once you've gotten back or once you've made that connection, in that follow-up, whether it's LinkedIn, it's an email, follow up on the conversation. And you were listening, you were asking questions, and in popping an email off and saying, was great meeting you, really enjoyed that. If you want to follow up with coffee, try to set up a meeting, do that. But bring something out in the conversation that you talked about to show you were listening. And then, Nick, you just mentioned referral. Follow up on referrals. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not following up on referrals, if you meet somebody and somebody says, hey, I'm going to refer you or follow up with me, and you don't follow up, you've just blown your whole networking opportunity as far as what you were trying to do. When I get back, I will, within a day or two, send an email off, make a phone call, possibly even do a handwritten note saying thank you if it was a referral or if it was somebody who invited me to something. Kind of going a little old-fashioned, a little old school, but that doesn't happen anymore. It shows time. It
really stands out.
And it shows that, wow, that person thought, again, I was important and they're interested in me.
Yeah, definitely. And something that I've been doing lately after network events is that I've been picking up the phone and calling people.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day I'll, the 3, 4, 6 people that I really connected with that I thought, there was good potential with, that I'll just pick up the phone and call them. And, kind of old school's the new school now, because you kind of catch them off guard. They're not expecting, a phone call the next morning from you. And, they're generally quick, just, hey, appreciated talking to you last night. I said that I was going to give you the name of this person, so I just thought I'd call you this morning and give you that phone number. And, and then they'll, say that, yeah, there was this person that I wanted to connect you with. I'll send you an email as soon as we're done, with their contact information. So, and I can get through 4, 5, 6 phone calls like that in, 20 minutes, and then I'm on to my day. And then I'll connect with them in, the various capacities that we talked about. But they've just been finding that a phone call is kind of a nice, refreshing surprise, and it keeps the energy going from the in-person discussion that you had the night before.
Yeah, I like that. I was just at a networking event before this. I was introduced to somebody that I hadn't met before and would like to refer him to a couple different things that he thought, I'd like to be connected with that. But at the same time, there's a good opportunity for me to work with him as a client too. So I think rather than, I told him I'd send him an email, I think I'll be making that phone call tomorrow. I like that. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, think about how many emails you get versus how many phone calls you get.
Oh, yeah.
Versus how many thank you notes you get. I mean, which one is the most scarce?
Mm-hmm.
Are those handwritten thank you notes?
Mm-hmm.
Very impactful.
The time. And I think in picking up the phone in that post, in any type of follow-up, a lot of times when I find that 3 out of 4 times, no, not 3 out of 4, but 3 out of 10 possibly, they'll actually answer. And it's, I can follow up with what we talked about, but then you get to ask those additional questions of, is there anything else? Are there any others? Are there any referrals? And you can go a bit deeper into the conversation that you wouldn't have if you just sent that email off. So I agree. Picking up the phone is great.
Yeah. What I've also found, too, is that I've had some people that have turned the tables and called me and after an event. And what it's done is it's allowed me to say, hey, you know what? After I was driving home, I thought about this and this.
Mm.
And I wanted to ask you about this. So then you're back into that discussion and the energy and everything is there. And you can just continue on with, with the discussion and keep moving forward. Maybe something that you thought of after the event was over, or something that maybe you were thinking and then you got interrupted by somebody running through to collect cards. And then you forgot to get back on point again. So it just that interaction allows you to talk about things more quickly and about more topics than a flurry of emails, will do.
Right, and it brings it more personal with inflection and,
definitely. So thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our discussion on networking. And this is Biz Help Radio, and look forward to being with you soon.
Yep, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks.
Good night.